This is the day of shalom. Anybody know what that means? Yes, sir. Peace and wholeness. That's a good way to put it. And what we're going to do, go ahead and put the first slide up and then we'll go from there. We're going to just talk about shalom a little bit. We're not going to start in Scripture. We'll talk a little bit about Scripture, but I want you to see it broader than that. The concept of shalom is Middle Eastern, is where we'll start, Hebrew. And you also discover that there are other words for shalom. Shalom basically means peace. That's why we translate it in English. But shalom is the Hebrew version of it. Anybody know what the Arabic version of it would be? Salam, yeah. And so we see them as equivalent, but if you go and really look at the detail of it, no, it's not. They're two different things. They're related. It's about peace. The Arabic version is more about world peace and what's going on out and about, whereas the Hebrew version of it is more about inner peace. What does that look like in me? How do I look at those kinds of things? So, because I know you're all used to all of the technical writing and the technical research that's going on, I decided that I would quote from our favorite source, Wikipedia, as a starting spot in this idea of shalom. And so this is what Wikipedia says. It says, in the Bible, shalom means universal flourishing, wholeness, and delight, a rich state of affairs in which natural needs are satisfied and natural gifts fruitfully employed, a state of affairs that inspires joyful wonder as the Creator and Savior opens doors and welcomes the creatures in whom He delights. You know, for Wikipedia, that's not bad. I think that's even better than some of the AI versions I've read of this. So it's a starting spot. So this idea is about how do I bring my blood pressure down when things aren't going well, whether that's on the field as a football player or a basketball player or going to a class and not being prepared for the test and all of a sudden, you know, how things just kind of heat up and you go, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. That even happens to faculty and staff when we end up kind of going, uh-oh, I'm losing my peace. I need to figure out how to get it back. I need to know what that looks like and how I function in those kinds of things. So let's see what else I've got here. Oh, for those of you who are more language-oriented, I give you a Venn diagram. That's for the science part of the world here. A Venn diagram of this idea of shalom. Think of an orange. That's probably not a good illustration, but it's the only one I've got right now. Think of an orange, and when you peel it apart, you've got a bunch of segments in it, but it's one orange. That's what peace is. That's what shalom is. It's all together, but each of those segments has its own flavor, even though they're all oranges, okay? And so we see these various concepts that are there. Go to the next one here. And this gives us more of the ideas in this Hebrew version of shalom. It's about peace, which is more than the absence of conflict. It's about this idea of, no, this fits. This feels good. This feels right. It involves safety. It involves completeness or wholeness, quietness or goodness. So that's that spot where you're sleeping in on the weekend and you don't have to get up and it's like, ah. You know the feeling? That's shalom. And you don't need it all the time, but we'll mix a couple other words together here in our discovery of it. Sometimes we see it like Sabbath rest. You don't have to have Sabbath rest all the time, but there are times when you just need to stop and unplug and relax. Okay? So that's part of it. That's the part that we're looking at, especially in this one day, because we can't do this every day. We can't even do it every week on our campus. The semesters just go by so fast. But we take one day out and go, okay, this is a day for shalom. Okay? And that's what we want to practice today. That's what we want to encourage each other with. You know, it's the idea of favor, blessings from God. Now I'm beginning to sound religious here, okay? I'm sorry, but that's part of my job, is religious portion of this. So I'm after blessings from God, that things look good, things are right, the world is all in a right spot. I have friends, I'm prosperous, I'm successful, I have enough strength that I can lift the weights over in the weight room. I need some help there, folks. I'm not doing that well. I have assurance. I have just a general sense of welfare, would be another word that we would use there. It's a favorable answer. It's wellness and quietness and all is right with the world. It's that sense of satisfaction. Everything is good. Now, I want you to stop and just think for a second. When was the last time I felt that way? When was the last time I felt that way? That's one of those things that we want to help each other take the time to find those moments and those spots. Sometimes it's about a place. Sometimes it's about a specific kind of music that we want to listen to. Sometimes, can I tell you where I get most of my shalom? It's when I get behind the wheel of the car and I'm out by myself and I can turn on my K-Love. And no one is there to disturb me. Nothing else is going on. And I can sing some praise, but usually my blood pressure goes down and all is right with the world. That's one spot for me that shalom shows up. I don't have it everywhere, but that's one of those spots when I get in my vehicle. So I've been driving back and forth to Chico last couple days, teaching down there at the YWAM base. And that hour and 45-minute drive is wonderful. It's my escape from the chaos of my world, the chaos of my home, and the ability to go, okay, God, help me just relate to you and enjoy life. So that's some of the pieces. That's the Hebrew concepts. Next slide. I got to keep moving. I'm going to give you three verses in Scripture. We've talked about the concepts. I'm going to give you three passages of Scripture that relate to this idea of shalom. Why three? In some of your traditions, some of your church backgrounds, a lesson from the Word had an Old Testament passage, a Gospels passage, and a New Testament passage. And you had a little bit of each in order to have all of the Word. So we're going to look at three verses just simply as a way of going, oh, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about shalom biblically. First one is in Isaiah 26. Isaiah is speaking and he says, "You, Lord, will keep me in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because they trust you." There are times, especially in those kinds of settings when battles were going on, or if you know people who've been in the military, that in the midst of chaos, in the midst of war, what do? God, give me peace. Give me that ability just to relax and trust you that you're going to take care of me. So that's one verse. That's an Old Testament verse. That's a good reminder for us that, at least in my theology, God can do that. God can give me peace. Okay, let's go to the second verse. This is the Gospels one. Jesus is speaking. Sometimes we need to hear what Jesus has to say. And here's the verse that Jesus gives in John 16. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have," what? "Peace." Shalom. "In this world you will have trouble." That may even include football teams that or a long, long ways from home, and you go, God, just give us a score. One score would be enough. We don't even have to win, but give us something here. And it's about God giving you peace in the midst of those kinds of things. Whether he gives a score or not, you begin to go, okay, I'll trust you, God. I'll figure out what this looks like in this world of trouble. You're going to provide peace. But take heart. This is Jesus' words. I have come to overcome the world. No matter how bad it gets out there, it's still going to be okay. Why? Jesus is with me. He's my shalom. One more verse. So those of you who aren't into Bible stuff, this isn't too painful. It's just a bite-sized piece for you today. This is from Paul's writings in Philippians. He goes, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. God, I need some help here. And then what happens? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I give him my request, and I ask him to give me that ability just to relax, and that he's going to make sure everything works out okay in the end. So there's the verses. So if I were to pull all of this together, you've seen the content. And now if I were going to take and put this into a paragraph that describes how I look at peace, that's the next piece here, my perspective. And I'm not suggesting that this is your perspective. I'm saying this is my perspective. I'm just sharing it with you. And there are other perspectives. We're going to hear more about that in a bit. But I would suggest to you that biblical shalom comes from the Lord, and he is the foundation of peace. He's the one who gives me peace. Peace comes as a result of me being in right relationship to him. And I keep in mind not only that he provides me with peace, but he provides me with freedom. Freedom from guilt and shame and all those other things that may keep me awake at night. I can have a perfect night's sleep because Jesus gives me peace. Okay? I could go on and provide just a little more frame of reference. The prophet Isaiah looked forward to the time when the Christ child would come. And you know what Isaiah called him? The Prince of Peace. That's who Jesus is, the Prince of Peace. This is fulfilled in the New Testament. You see it in Ephesians, where Jesus Christ is literally called our peace. And so this becomes, at least in my world, my frame of reference to this idea of shalom. I need Jesus, and Jesus helps me relax. Jesus is the one who brings my blood pressure down. Jesus is the one who gives me a good night's sleep. Remember old Daniel when he was thrown in the lion's den? He didn't worry about it. He laid down and took a nap. And those lions just sat there and drooled, but they didn't eat because Daniel had found peace. So that's my perspective. There are other perspectives. And this next one that I want to give you is a perspective for those of you who may not know Jesus. How do I talk about peace if I don't have Jesus in the equation? It's a little more of a challenge, but it does exist in our world. And in some of the professions you're going into, you're going to have to think about how do I talk about this in a way that's perhaps a little more secular than religious. And so, next slide. I would suggest to you that you can talk about it in the context of dimensions of healing or wellness. There are 8 dimensions of wellness. Physical wellness, emotional wellness, spiritual wellness, and spiritual wellness is just that sense of belonging. Intellectual wellness, I can think. Financial wellness. How many are praying for financial wellness as we finish this semester off? Yeah. We'll keep that in there. Social wellness. How do I get along with my roommates or the other folks in my hall? occupational wellness. I think of some of our nursing students who are off to the hospitals and doing their clinicals. And while they're doing their clinicals, it's like, that nurse is from the pit. I don't want to work with her. And so then they have to kind of go, okay, I got to get some balance. I got to get some health. I've got to get some ability to put things together. And so we have occupational wellness. And we also talk about environmental wellness. How are we at peace with the world around us? We don't often talk about those things, but it's good for us to do. And so if you don't want to put Jesus in the equation, here are the eight dimensions that most of the world would use when we're talking about wellness. Wellness is a good equivalent to this idea of shalom. Now, I say that, but I want to give you a caveat here. To have all of this without Jesus, without having God in the equation, rings a little hollow in my head in terms of what that looks like. There's a dimension that needs to be filled that only God's going to fill in my ability to understand peace. And the next slide is about questions. There are other perspectives. I've given you two. I've given you my version of it from the text. And then I've given you a secularized version of it. But we're going to ask a couple more questions in terms of what does it look like? And rather than me speaking, you've heard me enough. I'm going to ask Cornelius and Thomas to come up here. Come on up. And they're going to answer some of these questions and give you their perspective. So you've had my perspective, you've had a secular perspective, you've got their perspective, and then they'll finish us off.
Thank you, Pat. Yeah. Man. Pat's a great advocate for peace. All right, well, shalom. In Israel, we say shalom to say hi. We say shalom to say goodbye. We say shalom all the time. So I say to you, shalom. All right. Peace. Man, you're looking so nice. Look at that. I thought we were dressing down today, right?
I didn't get a
memo.
Give
it up for Dr. Quack. Shalom is an easy word to say, I think, but it is a fragile thing. It's a hard thing to keep, right? I mean, yeah, sometimes you're just this far away from losing it. But it's so precious. And so peace can be fragile, but peace also can be kept. And so we have to be, sometimes that peace that we keep is, it's important for us to keep it hard won. So I thought I'd start off by asking you, Dr. Quick, how do you keep peace? What's that look like in your life?
Well, shalom, everybody. In that part of the world, they sometimes greet each other with a holy kiss, but we won't do that. Won't have you guys do that either. Okay, so for me, peace is not just something that I pray for. Peace is something that I get to steward and that I get to cultivate. So for me, it looks like it's very practical. So most mornings when I get up in the morning or when I'm laying in bed, I first open my eyes. I do this thing called a self-awareness check, right? I ask myself typically three questions. One, how's my body doing? Right? Say, oh, I'm really tired today. Maybe I need to cut down, you know, an activity today. I need to scale back some so that I can get my strength back. Have I been eating well? Right? You cannot be eating burgers at a cafe every day, guys. That's not good for you. Okay? Have you been taking your supplements, right? I ask myself very practically, how's my body doing? Because if my body is not functioning well, then chances are I'm not going to have a lot of peace, right? And the second question is, how's my soul doing, right? My mind, my will, my emotions. How's my mental health? Is it confused? Is it overloaded? Do I have a lot going on that I need to seek counsel? And talk to a trusted friend, a mentor about it. How's my will doing? Am I making the right decisions? Do I need to talk to somebody else to get some wisdom, right? And how's my how are my emotions doing, right? Am I struggling with offense, unforgiveness? Am I struggling with covetousness or greed, right? Those things will eat away my peace, right? So how's my body doing? How's my soul doing? And how's my spirit doing, right? How's my faith doing? Am I feeding on the promises of God lately? Am I trusting God, or am I doing my own thing? Have I been connecting with God lately? So I find that when I do those things well, then my peace level increases.
That's great. Excellent. Do you have any, you want to ask me the next one?
Yeah. We've not rehearsed as well, as you can tell. So how do you get peace? should we go to the next question?
Yeah, no, that's good. Okay. That's good. I guess I would say this. How do you get peace? Well, like the prior point is that you lose peace, right? Like, we are constantly in the state of losing our peace. Like I said, it's fragile, right? So you don't always check in and say, I'm at peace, right? So we start from this place of lack of peace. And many of the places you go in life, like the physical places where you go, you will lose your peace, right? You will lose your wholeness because you twist an ankle, your physical wholeness. You'll lose your social peace and shalom because there will be that, you know, word that was said. There, you could lose even your spiritual peace as you realize you're kind of kicking against God's ways, right? So we lose our peace. And for me, where I get peace, when I get peace, is in between places. In between places. This is a really important spot in your life. You leave one spot, and maybe you've lost your peace, and then before you get to that next place, you can win back your peace. You can pursue peace in the in-between times. Because what's the alternative? I'm filled with chaos. I drive home, and then I give it to my family, right? You are, you know, annoyed at this, and then you turn around, and there's a in-between space that we've missed. And sometimes we jam it full of, like, podcasts and the radios and the things, right? But we don't take that moment to be quiet. And so there's a moment on my commute as I'm walking certain places. There's a moment in my commute when I'm driving home, when I pass a certain spot, I turn off my fantasy novel or whatever I'm listening to. And then I sit for a silent minute. And then I ask God to bless all of the good seeds I planted today. And I ask him to steal all of the weeds that I scattered. And let those things die. And I trust him with the growth. So those in-between places, you have to take advantage of them. And I like to do that through rituals, et cetera. So that's a big part of how I keep peace. So, Quek, I know you're a person of prayer. And there's a prayer tent today out 1 o'clock. You already see it set up. But we're going to be there praying for people. But how does peace and prayer overlap in your life? What's maybe one way?
Yeah, just kind of piggyback on what you just said. For me, I like to catch God in the moments. That's what I call it, right? Sometimes, as Christians, we compartmentalize our lives, right? We've got 2 hours on Sunday. We've got an hour, at chapel Wednesday and Friday. And then the remaining of the time, we don't really hardly, engage with God. Right, so for me, I like to be intentional and practice including or engaging in the presence of God throughout the day, catching God in the moments. Right, so I know I tell these two students all the time. Right, you may not have a lot of time to spend with God because you're busy, you've got stuff going on, but what about you walk from your dorm to the caf? Right, you've got a good 2 minutes maybe. Right, what about praying in between that time? Say, God, I'm struggling today. I need your peace. God, I need your favor. I need your wisdom, right? And thank God while you're showering, right? I practice this a lot. Well, I take a shower every day, so I do this every day. And oftentimes, you know, I get up in the morning, I get in the shower, and you know, I come before God with no pretense. I mean, you know, I'm coming with God with honesty, vulnerability. Don't picture it. So I go under the shower and let the water just wash over me. Right. And in that moment, I say, God, Lord, would you wash over me with your peace today, or your joy, or your guidance today? Right. Sometimes I'm in there for, you know, I get carried away and it's 20 minutes, 30 minutes past, and I get a knock on the door and my wife's like, what you doing in there? I said, don't mind me, babe. I'm just connecting with God. Just connecting with the Father. And I heard this preacher say one time, you know, I never pray for more than 20 minutes, but I never go without prayer for more than 20 minutes. Right. So I think that's profound. Right. So throughout the day, as I'm ironing my shirt, I'm in the shower, I'm cooking a meal, walking to class, whatever the case may be, I invite God into my day, into my moment. And prayer is obviously a significant and pivotal part of connecting with God and seeking peace. There's a scripture that says, Jesus said, hey, I know all your needs before you even utter any of your prayer requests. Ever read that? And think like, what the heck? Jesus, you already know all my needs, then go ahead and do it. Why have me pray? The key is dependence, right? So Jesus is inviting us to depend on him, right? Since he already knows all our needs, therefore, the key is not the articulation of your prayer necessarily. Right? It's not what you say, because he already knows it. For me, it's more about agreement more than it is articulation. So I'm trying to agree with God concerning who he is and who he's going to be in my situations. If I need peace, his name is Jehovah Shalom. Lord, I need you to be Shalom today. If I need provision, Lord, I thank you. I agree with you that your name is Jireh, Ireh, my provider. If I need some righteousness, his name is Sikenu. So I'm going to God and I'm agreeing with him, not with my circumstances, not how I'm feeling or what I'm thinking, but who he is. So
it's really good. I like that idea that he's almost like the change maker in any situation. He's the source of all those things. And, you know, Pat said, you know, your dimensions of wellness without Christ feels a little hollow. I think it's part of that where we just say, you know, if God is the giver, right, the creator, then he's the source of all those things. So, yeah, those things exist in our lives. We can have a semblance of peace without them, but it doesn't all connect because we don't have that the connection with the source. What is, like, we talked about the peace within, but can you give peace? Like, what does it look like in your life to give peace? What are some things you've noticed?
Yeah, I think God's original design is not just that we consume peace, but that we're a dispenser of peace, right? We're blessed to be a blessing. Those who have received much will give much. Those that have been shown mercy will be merciful. That's God's plan, right? So when I think about margins in my life, right? If I have very little margins, chances of me being disgruntled, cranky, it's pretty high, right? So I make an intention. I'm very intentional about watching my margins so I can dispense more peace to people around me, right? It's out of the overflow of my connection with God, right? If I show up in class grumpy, you will not like it, would you, right? But I make an intention to go before God first thing in the morning, and so that when I go into my day and I go into my classes, I can give out of the overflow, right? I think that's God's plan. How about you?
Yeah.
How do you give peace?
I think, let me say this about that. I think it's great. I mean, I feel like I bring, when I feel at peace, I feel the most able to bring peace. Like I shared this the other day in class about how my daughter said something really rude to me.
And it really got me going. Like, I was like, whew, if I had done that, I'd be tied to a tree, right? I was raised in East Texas. And I was just thinking, like, no, this would never happen. And I would not be alive if I had done that. But then all of a sudden, I realized that, you know, I, as a parent, need to de-escalate. I need to bring my peace, right? And, you know, we're not into corporal punishment at our home anyway. That was mostly a joke. But the main point is, I think for me, was that when I got home from work, we had a conversation about it, and I sought out her heart, and I was able to see what was really going on. So it takes spiritual insight to really be there for others. And sometimes the Holy Spirit gives me specific things, and it helps me to see what's really going on. And so, that's one way I can give peace, being patient and just saying, when somebody's in my presence, they have my full attention. You know, we gotta to be fully present, and that can be hard. All right. Well, we have one more question. And it has to do with forgiveness. And maybe we can both just briefly talk about it, and then we'll let you go. And it has to do with something that I think is really challenging for us, this idea of being forgiven and forgiving. If we have offended, it can eat at us. And I would just say that there is no more like way to really disrupt your peace than being in relational conflict with someone. And the Bible gives us a lot of wisdom on that, to go to the person first, you know, mano a mano, and say, I'm sorry. How can we pursue peace together? The Bible also says, if that doesn't work, let's bring others to see what we're seeing. And then we pursue peace within the entire system, right? And if you come to the prayer tent, if you're in relational conflict, I even have a little like fold-out handout that says, like, this is what forgiveness often looks like. This is how an apology looks like. This is how we sometimes veer towards anger in our pursuit of justice and hold on too tightly. And then there are other times where we go towards like to escape, and we just let it go and everything's fine and we become a doormat, right? So there's a neat middle ground in pursuing peace. Anyway, we have resources, and I think, but in giving forgiveness on the other side is just as important. We think sometimes that like, hey, I'm not going to forgive that person. I'm going to give them the cold shoulder. I'm not going to talk to them, and they're going to feel terrible. They don't feel terrible. I mean, sometimes they honestly do. But a lot of times, you're the one keeping yourself in the cage. When you don't offer out forgiveness, it's a poison inside of you, right? You're the one keeping yourself in that prison, right? And so to feel at peace, a lot of times, it's the extension of peace. And bringing it back to that hollowness without God, you know, the inner turmoil we sometimes feel, we need that forgiven. We need to feel that, like, yeah, that habitual sin that was a long time ago that still nobody knows about, those things need to be forgiven so that we can be forgivers, right? Because when you feel free, when you feel like, hey, I'm not in any debt, that's when you feel like you can give. But when you feel like you're in debt, you're stingy. So I would just encourage you that, you know, maybe there's one or two of these things that we've talked about, one of these dimensions of wholeness and shalom. Maybe focus in on that. Maybe it's the bum knee. Maybe it's the relationship. Let's do that.